The word today is together. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. In many cultures around the world, people are abandoning marriage in favor of other living arrangements. There's an attitude that marriage causes problems between men and women. But the reality is just the opposite. It can be wonderfully harmonious and fulfilling. Here to lead us into further study of this blessed state is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Together.
The other day I found a book that was very interesting entitled The Museum of Broken Relationships. And it is a collection of pictures or images of common everyday items that represented for people who had a love affair, a marriage, a friendship that broke up. The image is of the item that represented the love for them and what they had shared. And now they had donated these items so that others could see the story, see the pain, or see the lessons that they had learned, or get a little glimpse into their life as to what a profound love they had shared with someone else. These relationships, by and large, in this book are illicit. Many of them are immoral. Many of them were affairs, adulterous relationships. And in one sense, I think you deserve it. It's the consequence of an immoral life. When you don't do things in a godly fashion, you set yourself up for horrible pain and despair and heartache. Today we're going to talk about marriage and how the world is moving away from marriage, and they're thinking there's some kind of issue with marriage or that they don't need it any longer. And yet, in fact, marriage remains one of the most fantastic experiences in the Christian and in all of human life. And we're going to first see the words of Jesus from Mark chapter 10. It says that Jesus left that place and went into the region of Judea across the Jordan. Large crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Well, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples came and asked Jesus about this, and he answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." Well, we are in a world that has certainly not listened to Jesus' advice. It was understood in the early church that if your marriage deteriorated, if it was ended, that was it. Marriage was supposed to be for a lifetime. It was the two becoming one flesh. When it dissolved, it was over. Our world has adamantly ignored the advice of Jesus, and many times it does so to its own harm. We are going to think today about the blessedness of marriage. Divorce is a sad, horrible thing that happens, and that's not the primary focus here. What we really want to focus on is how wonderful and fantastic marriage is, as Jesus described it, as God, from the beginning, said the two will become one flesh. This is why he made us male and female, so that we could have that fantastic relationship together. As Jesus said, divorce is the result of hardened hearts. But today we'd like to celebrate soft hearts, hearts that are kindly disposed toward one another. The world's solution when it comes to marriage is to dump it, to think that marriage is a problem somehow, and that by skirting the commitment of marriage, by getting rid of it, somehow there's an advantage to be gained. Well, this is nonsense. It reminds me of a book that was written by a man named Willard Harley. It was called Buyers, Renters, and Freeloaders. And he was discussing the three kinds of relationships, that buyers are individuals that get married and are committed to each other, like the owner of the property is committed to improving it and protecting it. The renter doesn't really care so much about the property. They're only half in. And if it gets too troublesome or too costly, they move on. That's like cohabitation. Individuals that just shack up together end up moving out and moving on when they don't think they're getting enough out of the equation. And then the freeloaders are the individuals that are abusive, the persons who are users. They'll just take and they won't give. Well, marriage should be for us as humans a fantastic thing to experience in life. And sadly, our world wrecks it up a lot. The proper solution is not to get rid of marriage as though it's the problem. The proper solution is to fix the problems that we as sinners have in ruining marriage. And so we're going to think about some of these things. For instance, we are messing up generations of people now in schools, especially in the West, by trying to teach them that they can select their own sexual identity. Oh, brother, you want to talk about the mess that is coming to culture in the West. We haven't even begun to see how horridly wretched relationships are going to be when people think you just select or choose what sexual orientation you are. Watch out. It is going to get really ugly in terms of interpersonal relationships. And this will be part of the punishment of God. When you walk away from the way the Creator made you, male and female, and I'm not talking about special situations where there are people called hermaphrodites, individuals that have genetic abnormalities. I'm talking about people that are male and female all the way through, and they think they're just going to switch their identity. This will be chaos and pain that will be visited upon our culture. We have to go back to the simple, basic things of reality and not try to fabricate our own reality and pretend like children that we aren't male or female. Enough of that. We're going to talk about heterosexual marriage and the fact that it can be wonderful, it can be beautiful. One of the things that causes pain and suffering in marriage is disdain for the opposite sex. Men making jokes about women in general as being stupid, women making jokes about men being as dense as a brick. All of these things are expressions of disdain for the opposite sex. Instead of accepting and respecting the beautiful ways that God made men and women to think differently and to enjoy that and learn from it, there's too much ridicule and mockery of the opposite sex. If you take that attitude into marriage, trust me, you will have trouble. Far better to appreciate the way the mind of a woman or the mind of a man works and try to be cooperative about it. It's recommended that you practice appreciation of your spouse. You know, the two becoming one. That you seek the input of your wife or husband, that you will value their thoughts. Notice how it says here that you will leave your parents. There's a lot of well-intentioned parents in the world who think they have to hover over their children's lives. They never let their kids grow up. They're constantly meddling in their kids' affairs. Parents, listen. Let go. Stop sticking your face into everything your child is doing in life. It's okay to be close to your child emotionally. It's not okay to think you have to be part of everything they're doing. These children are to leave and cleave, as it has been said. They're to leave your supervision and to be independent and cleave or cling to their spouse. Let them do that. And for you adults who are going to mommy and daddy all the time as though you don't have any independence, it's time to grow up. It's important that you leave home. And when you do that, watch that you leave your parents' marital mistakes at your childhood home. Don't bring in the mistakes that your parents had done into your marriage. There is no such thing as a perfect adult, and there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Your folks made some mistakes. So be willing to accept that and to move on and to go to a different sort of arrangement if you see the pain and the sorrow or the mistakes that your parents made. One of the great things about good marriage is that the two shall become one. You become like-minded. You become together in so many things. You know, Jesus, not in the context of marriage, but in the light of us as Christians, prayed in John chapter 15 that all of his followers may be brought to complete unity. Christians are supposed to have a harmony and a togetherness because of Jesus Christ. So much more for Christian marriage. I'd like for you to value compromise with your spouse. Seek unity above being right. There is a sinful tendency for us to want to be right and to try to get our spouse to accept our perspective. That's not productive. Instead, look for compromise as a great tool so that you can reach agreement. It's important that we support marriage, that we find joy in marriage, and some effort on our part will glorify God and bring us great contentment and joy. Marriage is the union of two imperfect people, so it's not going to be perfect. But by living according to the principles that God provides for us, it can be wonderful. It can show us the unity and the harmony that we have with God and the love of God that comes to us through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.